Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text I will read again, Matthew chapter 14. Now when Jesus heard about the death of John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They said to him, "We have only 5 loaves here and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they took up 12 baskets full of the broken pieces left over. And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. This is our text. For many of us, we know this account of the feeding of the 5,000 very well. It's in every one of the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's read, if not every year, then almost every year, as our Sunday Gospel reading. Today I want to take a look at this feeding of the 5,000, thinking about it first from the perspective of the crowds, then from the perspective of the disciples, then with respect to Jesus, and finally bringing it home to us gathered here. So we'll begin with the crowds. About 5,000 men plus women and children, which is a lot of people. About 100 times what we have gathered here right now. And there are lots of places people could be on a day like this. You think about 5,000 people going to a place like that, it's significant. If we were to ask 5,000 people what they might do on a day like this, they probably wouldn't choose to spend it in a desolate place. If they're going to take time off, they could have spent it elsewhere, gotten a little rest and relaxation, knocked a few things off the to-do list at home. And if what they wanted was to travel, then they could have gone on an actual vacation to a real beach or to visit family and friends rather than end up in a place like this. And yet this is where we find 5,000 men plus women and children waiting for Jesus, waiting for him as soon as he goes ashore and steps off the boat into that desolate place where he sees a great crowd waiting for him. Why? Why are they here? What are they expecting? What are they looking for from Jesus? Matthew tells us it was because of their hearing. Because they'd heard it. They'd heard things about Jesus. They'd heard what he's about and what he's been doing for others and what he might do for them. Paul says in Romans, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And these 5,000 people had heard. We don't know how much detail they'd heard, how much they really know or believe about Jesus, but it was enough to drive them into a desolate place to see and hear this man. It's also amazing that while Jesus is crossing the Sea of Galilee by water in the boat, these people followed him by foot. That's some dedication. They're not just along for the ride. They don't just happen to see Jesus going past. They are dedicated to get to the place where Jesus is going ahead of him. I know for some of us gathered here, it takes effort to get here. It takes time and energy and planning. Blessed are the feet that long for the good news. Blessed are those who seek out Jesus and are willing to make the journey to be where he is. 5,000 people. That's a lot of stories. 5,000 plus people. That's a lot of stories. I mean, think about just us gathered here, what we bring with us when we come. Our whole histories, the events of this past week, our struggles. There are all his stories of lusts and losses and challenges in life, and there are her stories of hurt and betrayals and lies. What we don't have is a crowd of people whose lives are all put together. I mean, we do dress up when we come to church on Sunday morning, and we do try to look pretty good, and we don't wear everything on our sleeves. We don't wear all of our hurts on our faces or all of our sins on the outside. But let's be honest, that's what we bring. Just like that crowd, real people living real life. I mean, imagine zeroing in not just on the big crowd, but on one individual in that crowd. Their life gritty and troubled and laced with heartbreak and disappointment. And it's obvious for some because they're bringing sick bodies with them, their own or those of others. But even more, there are the sick souls that have gathered there on that shore around Jesus. Why? They're not there for a show. They're not looking for entertainment. They're there to see Jesus. And what about us? Why are we here this morning? In this place? I won't call Westminster a desolate place, though some of you coming from Boston area might imagine that it's so. But what gathers us here? What have we heard about Jesus that drives us to be in this place at this time? And what have we come expecting? And what sicknesses or sins have we brought today to the place where Jesus is? Which brings us to the second group of people, the disciples. You'd think that if the crowd is there to hear Jesus and to see him, that the disciple, it would be the same with the disciples. I mean, they've been with Jesus even longer. They've traveled even farther, and they've heard and seen so much more. But I'll be honest, the disciples kind of drive me crazy. I mean, I don't think they come across well in this account. And yet I can identify with them. They know Jesus and they know him well, and yet they miss the one thing right there in front of them. I suspect part of it is because they've been doing things for Jesus, maybe running errands, corralling the crowd, making sure things are taken care of. And suddenly they look around and realize the reality. They see the place, remote and desolate, and unable to sustain life. And they recognize the time, evening, dusk, the hour is late. The time is past. They tap their watch and look at Jesus and say, we got to get this show on the road. Because they can anticipate what's coming next. Hunger. 5,000 men plus women and children hungry in a desolate place at a late hour, and the day is now over. Send the crowds away to go into the villages and buy food for themselves. That's what they tell Jesus. Wrap it up and send them off. What's amazing to me is that the disciples seem to think, they seem to believe, that what the crowd needs can't be found there in that place. That they need something that can only be found somewhere else, from someone else. They've got to provide for themselves. And Jesus gives the disciples a little opportunity, a little open window here. No, no, they don't need to be sent away. You give them something to eat. And the disciples are still so dense. They start scrambling around, counting what they have. I've got 3 loaves over here. I've got 2 over here. There are a couple of fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's all we've got. Nothing except that. So little for so many. And what good will that be? What can we do with 5 loaves and 2 fish? And do you see what the disciples are missing? I mean, they see the crowd, they see 5 loaves, they see 2 fish. What are they not seeing? It's Jesus. The disciples stand there thinking that what the crowds need is not going to be found in that place, that desolate place at that late hour. They've got to go somewhere else. They see 5 loaves and 2 fish and they think, it's not enough. What they need can only be found elsewhere, they think. I wonder how often that's the case for us as well. How often do we see the needs, the desolation and the late hour, and we think that the only place the help can be found will not be where Jesus is, but must be somewhere else, and they miss what's right in front of them? I'm not saying that we don't need at times to send people off to find food somewhere else or medical care or whatever it might be, but the disciples are thinking that the needs can only be met away from Jesus instead of turning first to Jesus. When someone brings a need to us, when we see the challenge that they're facing, how do we try and solve their problems? Where do we turn them? What do we give to them? We've got Jesus standing right there, but do we send them somewhere else thinking, oh, you'll find what you need away from here? Do we think all we've got is 5 loaves and 2 fish? We've got Jesus. I mean, what more do we need? They miss what's right in front of them. They miss who is in front of them. They see the crowds and they see the loaves and the fish, but they miss Jesus. The one whom we hear speaking in our Old Testament reading, Isaiah 55, if they had ears to hear, they would have heard echoing in the background the words given to the prophet Isaiah, spoken by the Lord himself. Come, everyone who thirsts. Not go, find it somewhere else, but come. Come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. You give them something to eat, Jesus says, which means come. Bring them to me. You don't have to pay for it. What Jesus gives, you cannot buy. It can only be received as a gift. And you might think that 5 loaves and 2 fish or whatever you're working with is too little. But 5 loaves and 2 fish and Jesus is an awful lot. So let's think about Jesus here now. After John the Baptist was arrested and beheaded, Jesus decides that he needs some time away. So he withdraws to that remote and desolate place to be by himself with the disciples. You see, this is not one of those moments when Jesus seeks out the crowd to heal. This is one of the moments when Jesus is stepping aside to be renewed. But he steps out of the boat, and you know what he sees. He is confronted by the need. And I can guarantee you that Jesus didn't in that moment say, again? Really? Can't I ever get a break? No, it says that he has compassion. Even when he's already spent, He has compassion. And so he spends himself even more all day long, healing their sick, caring for them in body and soul. And when the night is late, feeding them with bread from heaven. Don't send them away. Give them something to eat, which is Jesus' invitation to come to him. Bring them here to me, he says. Bring the loaves, bring the fishes, bring the people, bring their needs. And be amazed at the compassionate love that he has. Even when he's in the middle of mourning the death of his cousin John the Baptist. And John has just been beheaded, and here comes a crowd, and Jesus still has compassion upon them. Provides them with their daily bread. He will not allow their lack of food to drive them away, but rather draw them to himself. Jesus steps out with compassion. Not only when he feeds the 5,000, but even more when his compassion drives him to the cross. How many people viewed him hanging there? 5,000 men, plus women and children. How many walk right past not knowing that there hung what the world needs? The bread of heaven. The blood in which is the life of God himself. Given and shed for you upon the cross by your Lord Jesus Christ, because he knew the needs that you have today. And he knew that those needs would bring you to this desolate place at this hour. And he knew that what the world needs is not to be found somewhere else, out there, from someone else, but only from him. He is the life of the world. And so he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. And then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they had 12 baskets left over that were full. 5,000 men besides women and children. There is enough in Jesus for everyone. And there is enough in Jesus for you, whatever you bring this day here to our Savior. And Jesus has gathered us. He's arranged us not to sit down on the grass, but to sit down on the pews. And he takes not 5 loaves and 2 fish, but a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. And he says a blessing over them. And then he gives them to his servant to distribute to the people. And everyone here will have enough to be satisfied. And if it's not for you yet, then come soon and learn what it is and why he gives it. For your forgiveness, life, and salvation. It doesn't look like much, and some would say send them away to find something better elsewhere. But bread and wine and Jesus, that's all we've got. And it's enough. It's enough for you and for me today. Enough for us to acknowledge and thank God for the benefits. Enough for us to receive so that we can go out and serve him in willing obedience again. For we are the crowds. And yes, we are the disciples. But even more, we are the people gathered here right now where Jesus is present, where he speaks to us in his word, where he grants us the gift that comes from his cross. He feeds us with his own body and blood. 5 loaves, 2 fishes, and Jesus. It is enough for you and for me. In his name, amen.